Hi, I'm Mel Pickup, Chief Executive of Bradford Teaching Hospitals, and welcome to this month's episode of our podcast series, where I sit down with colleagues and partners from across the Trust and the wider community to find out more about them and their contributions to the health and well-being of the people here in Bradford. Today, we're exploring the life-changing world of organ donation, a topic that not only saves lives, but also restores hope and transforms families. Every donation represents an act of generosity, creating second chances for people facing serious illness, offering comfort to grieving families, and inspiring a culture of care and compassion that extends far beyond the hospital walls. Joining me is David Birtle, an intensive care and anaesthetic consultant here at Bradford Teaching Hospitals. David has been the clinical lead for organ donation at our hospital and brings both professional expertise and personal insight into this subject. Welcome, David.
Thank you for having me.
David, could you start by sharing a bit about your journey into medicine? What drew you to intensive care and anaesthetics? And how did your career path eventually lead you to become involved in organ donation?
My journey into intensive care and anaesthetic was really shaped at an early stage by some very inspiring leaders and bosses who, during early training, instilled in me a passion for the sort of work that goes on in intensive care. I did most of my postgraduate training in London and had a number of very formative experiences there. And it's actually relevant to organ donation because I looked after patients during that time that made a real impact on me, that left a lasting mark. And as doctors, we look after lots of patients in our professional career, but some of those ones that really stick with me were people who had medical or traumatic problems that actually resulted in them being in a situation where they went on to become organ donors. And being able to look after them and be involved in that process was extremely formative.
You've had a very personal experience with organ donation in your life. Could you share that story with us?
Yeah. My mum died about 3 years ago. When she died in circumstances that meant that she couldn't be a solid organ donor, but she could be a tissue donor. And I knew from the work that I've done and the experience that I have had that that was entirely possible. So it was clearly a very difficult and personal time. But one of the small good things that came out of that is that she was able to help other people. She donated her corneas, she donated heart valves and some tissues that have been used to help other people. And I think the loss of a loved one, it's an enormous thing in anyone's life. And it doesn't, as I imagine for the same for everybody else who's been in this situation, you never really forget it, and it remains a huge and very sad thing. But a small part of that is a very positive thing, and it gives us a lot of pride as a family to know that she was able to help other people.
Thanks for sharing that, David. How do you balance the responsibilities of providing critical care whilst also thinking about donation as a possibility?
Our primary focus is always to do everything we can to put patients in a position to recover. And we never think about organ donation until we've reached a point where we can say with certainty that we don't think a patient is going to recover at all, or we don't think a patient's going to recover in a way that would be consistent with what they would accept as a quality of life. And that's the most important thing to us, and it's something we do on a daily basis. If we are looking after a patient who finds himself in that situation, and we are faced with getting to that point, that's when they have the potential to be an organ donor. And it's a very special and quite specific place to be for patients. There are probably only somewhere between 30 and 50 patients a year that we look after who are in that situation, who have the potential to be an organ donor. So it's a very specific situation. It's quite a special situation, and it's not an everyday occurrence. And it comes at that point where, unfortunately, we think that a patient is reaching the end of their life.
Let's think now about the recipients, the patients whose lives are potentially transformed by receiving the donation from the patients that sadly we are not able to help to get better. How does that donation transform their lives?
Patients who need organ donation are, by definition, extremely unwell and extremely sick. Failure of an organ, that the type of which we would transplant, is a very really grave medical condition, and I think looking after people who are on the transplantation waiting list on a regular basis, the impact that has on their life physically, psychologically, spiritually is enormous. And then if you then look after people who have had successful transplantation, you see an enormous difference in the quality of their life. They go from being in a situation where their life depends upon a transplantation to being able to really re-engage with and life and live it to its fullest in the way that I think we would all want to aim for in terms of quality of life, which is very, it's very heartening, and it is undeniable and quite inspiring.
So I'm a patient then who needs a transplant. I've been waiting a long time, and my health and certainly the impact on my life is pretty profound. I'm not ill enough to necessarily be in hospital, but I'm certainly not well enough to live the life I want to lead. And potentially every time the phone rings, I'm thinking maybe this is the call. David, can you talk us through what happens when it really is the call?
That sense of a mixture of worry, anticipation, and sometimes a little bit of guilt associated with that as a transplant recipient, knowing that your ability to receive a transplant is reliant upon the altruistic gift of another human being, I think is a very profound place to be. And we hear those sentiments all the time from people who have gone on to have successful transplants.
And the system in the UK now is an opt-out system for organ donation. Can you talk us through what that means in practice and how it's been received? And what impact has it had on the rates of donation so far?
It doesn't change our the approach of organ donation teams and nurses to how they look at these issues. The first thing that would happen if a patient was a potential organ donor was that the specialist nurses for organ donation look at the organ donor register to see whether people have ever actively made their decision about organ donation known. There are still mechanisms to sign up on the organ donor register when you get a driving license. You can do it independently on the internet. And because the people who are in this situation can't tell us what they would have wanted, we use that as a way of trying to ascertain their wishes. In addition to that, we still talk to family members, and we still ask family members about what they think, both about organ donation, but most importantly, what they think the perspective of the person who could potentially be a donor would be. Organ donation is an extremely well-supported activity by society across the nation in surveys, in both medical and non-medical research. It is very clear that numbers around 90% of the UK population strongly support organ donation and would be willing to receive an organ were they or a loved one in need of organ transplantation.
Bradford in particular, it's a wonderfully diverse city. How does organ donation work in this context, especially with different cultural and religious perspectives? Are there specific challenges or opportunities existing in raising awareness and consent rates for our community?
If you needed a transplant, you're most likely to get a match from someone of the same ethnicity to you for a bunch of scientific reasons. So that's an important starting point. In certain groups, so one prominent group that it would be the Muslim population in Bradford, the Sunni Muslim population in particular, large numbers of Sunni Muslims in our city. Though that group has quite low rates of consent, But it is, again, it's a very interesting mixed story. This city has one of the most prominent religious scholars about the acceptability of organ donation to the Muslim faith living right here.
Yeah.
It is clear from him, and I've read his religious fatwa about it, it is clear from his perspective that it is an acceptable thing to do in Islamic faith to become a donor. There is, I think, currently a bit of a gap between that academic religious work and the prevailing perspectives of some people that we look after and the community that we serve. And it's our role to support people to make decisions that are right for them.
Mm.
We can give them information. We can signpost them to people in their community. We can signpost them to the religious leaders in the hospital that we work very closely with.
Are there other things that we have planned or try and do?
We have started some work to look at community outreach. We are exploring work around schools and trying to introduce this as a concept, which the vast majority of the population will never have to personally encounter, but to embed it as a core and important part of society's understanding and also society's education. It's currently in the national curriculum. Organ donation is there's a campaign to make it a mandatory part of the national curriculum. It's not currently mandatory, but it's a part of the national curriculum to introduce this idea. And I think from an education perspective, it's got lots of very powerful things. It's a story of medical success in our time. It's a story of societal cohesion and altruism. It's a story of giving hope to people who perhaps didn't have hope and allowing people to live better lives after successful transplantation. And finally, it touches on some of the big issues in life. It talks about, it's a story of the nature of grief and finding some small bits of hope in difficult times. There are 8,000 people at the moment who need a life-saving organ transplants, and the vast majority of those people will only receive a transplant by altruistic donation. My message to people in terms of what they can do is to have conversations with their family members. Make sure that your family members know where you stand on this issue. Make sure as families, as friends, that you think about and talk about this issue. There are lots of good resources on the NHS Blood and Transplant website. In Organ Donation Week, there's a lot of media where people will be able to access the facts about donation. And so the things that people can do is to think carefully about that and to talk to their family members about it. So if the worst should happen, then people that you know and love know how you feel about it.
David, thank you for sharing your insights. Organ donation is such an important part of healthcare, and it's clear that through education and conversation and awareness, we can make a real difference to the people who live here in Bradford. If you'd like to find out more about the work, please visit bradfordhospitals.nhs.uk. And if you'd like to learn more about organ donation or register as a donor, visit organdonation.nhs.uk.